we gather on this day that the Lord has made. What a joy to gather for worship. And just a few announcements. There we go. Just a few announcements that's before us today. And that is, we'll have a small coffee hour, cookies and coffee for a time after service today. But just a reminder, no coffee hour on next Sunday, Easter Sunday. I know many of us have various different plans and things to do and to go. And so please be reminded of that. Our next Jenny's Lunch will be the 9th, April 9th. Wow, April here almost already. And as we gather together for that celebration, notice the menu before you. Reverse Craft Fair will be held on May 2nd. VBS, and you'll hear more about that when supplies come in and invitation to join us. Help with volunteering for VBS and continue to collect snacks for the Jefferson School. Please remember no peanuts because of allergies. And all snacks must be individually wrapped. Now that's something the school districts are requiring and have for a little while. Some of you have taken out Lenten jars. Well, Lent is fixing to end, and it will be over on next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and we'd like to remind you to bring your Lenten jars. We welcome everyone here today, and if this is the first time or you've been here for years and years, so glad that you're here worshiping with us. Are there any other announcements? I see hands going up, and I saw Linda's hand first, and then Nancy, a hand as well.
Next Sunday, Easter Sunday, we have a sunrise service, of course, and then the consistory will be cooking breakfast, and everyone is invited. Just come, no cost or anything, but come and join us for Easter breakfast.
That's always a wonderful time, and by the way, during the time, sometimes the end, you'll see some people leaving down to prepare, and you can feel, hear, smell the food. And then that makes the sermon a little bit quicker. And what a wonderful time. Nancy.
Yes, going back to VBS, the supplies did come in, so I'm looking for April 12th to have a short meeting after church. So,
April 12th. Short meeting after church. Some of you may have heard through the all-call system, we had a resignation from one of our elders. Mary Ann Jones has resigned from serving as elder, and the consistory has appointed Larry Decker to fill her spot. And that has happened immediately upon the reception of her resignation. I was supposed to announce that last week, and I totally forgot about it. But we wanted to make sure all of us knew about that. So thank you, Larry, for being willing to step in on that way. All right, any other announcements? I see none. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. the kingdom. Thank you, Linda. Let us join in the singing of our intro, and if you're able to stand with us, we invite you to do so. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sentences this morning will come to us from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He wakens my ear to hear as those who are taught.
The Lord God has opened my ears, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backwards. I gave my back to the swindlers, and my cheeks to those who go out to the ear. I hid not my face from shame and sin.
For the Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, that I might, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me.
Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold,
this is the word of the Lord. Let us continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, O Sacred Head Now Wounded.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Holy Christ, we confess that amidst all the Palm Sunday crowds, we find ourselves in more turmoil than triumph. Our faith is unsteady. Our wisdom is eroding. Our resolve is shaken. Our mercy is hardening. Our hope is weakening. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection, Holy Father. Hear us as we pray. Come again and save us from these sins. Give us strength to follow you, our humble Savior, our wise one, and all. May we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal our land. Cleanse with your fire, heal with your touch. Humbly we bow and call upon you now. Please be seated. I was fixing to say, proofreading is so important. I don't know why I didn't proofread that prayer confession. Our humble Savior, our wise one, our all in all. I don't know where that word fool came from. But I wanted to make that public and out there. And I got tickled after reading that, because I said, you know, you're always supposed to read over things, and that got by me.
Well, I didn't proofread it either, so.
Oh, I take full responsibility for that. And now, no wonder you looked at me the way you did when I said, please be seated. This old boy is losing it. If you're able, would you stand for our creed? Thank you, Larry. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. And now you may be seated. Hear these words our Lord Jesus Christ has said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance will come to us today from Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16.
Psalm 31, 9 through 16. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. Yea, I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in thee, O Lord. I say, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and persecutors. Let thy face shine on thy servant. Save me in thy steadfast love.
This is the word of the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world.
Please be seated. Right now, our ministry of music.
Thank you.
Isn't it interesting? say, we say, yay, hallelujah. But then it turns crucified. Just a few days. How the time changes. Yeah, beloved. We call this Holy Week because he sent after you and I. Father God, thank you that when we think about all the events that happens throughout this week, beginning with this day, prepare us to see your mercy and grace. Thank you, Holy Father, that as the children also gathered, and it said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna means save us, and we need saving today as a people, as a community, as a world. As our young people gather for Children's Church, let us take our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymn of praise. If you're able to stand, we invite you to stand with us. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that we're able to gather together as a community of faith, not only in this gathering, but in places all over the world, different times of the day. And on this day, we celebrate Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, the beginning of a week that transformed our lives and the lives of all humanity. Way back in eternity, you planned to die for us. We ask your blessing upon your word. Help us to hear your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson today will come to us from Matthew chapter 27, verses 11 through 54. The sermon title last week was way different. They liked him then. Last week was way different. They liked him then. Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor wondered greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. And when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Beside, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, said, "Have nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered much over him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the people to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself." And all the people answered, "His blood be upon us and our children." And he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and plaited a scarlet robe upon him and plaited a crown of thorns on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat upon him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And they went out and came upon a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. And the man they compelled to carry the cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they ordered him wine to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they departed his garments among them by casting lots. And they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." The two robbers who were crucified with him, one on the right and the other on the left, and those who passed by deriled him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who will have destroyed the temple and build it up in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." So all the chief priests with all the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him." And he trusted in God. "Let God deliver him now, if he desires him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Then the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness upon the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them bystanders hearing it said, "This man calls for Elijah." And one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yelled and gave up the spirit. And immediately, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. And the tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after the resurrection, they went to the holy city and appeared to many. And then verse 54 is the last that we'll read of this passage. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were all filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Palm Sunday. And we were usually over the years, we talk about waving palm branches in the palms and all the rest. This is last week. In this story, notice how the crowds changed. There are four scenes here, and we'll look at them very quickly. It was the pre-arrest. They gathered Jesus, and they said, we're gonna choose between Jesus and a notorious criminal named Barabbas. And we could change that name if we wanted to. Some of us would know of some of the world's most notorious scoundrels, some of the world's most notorious bad person, and you match them with Jesus. Which one would you choose? Of course we would want to choose Jesus. Release him, let him go free. He's done nothing wrong. But the surprise was, instead of choosing that just one, they chose the one who was unjustly a criminal, a scoundrel is the Greek word here, and the Greek attention. He was so notoriously known, it was mind-boggling to some, that he would go free. Barabbas. And then there was the arrest. And sometimes we look past the details of the arrest, but when you look down at verse glory, hallelujah. And he took verse number 27. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And notice what they did. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe upon him, and they planted a crown of thorns. And they put on his head and put a reed in his right hand, kneeling before him, and they mocked him, saying, there's a whole lot happening here. You see, not only did they want to try to mock him as being king, because here's Jesus, king of the Jews, but Satan himself took that very opportunity to mock Jesus before the crowd. But this is why I say that. One of the first things, they put a kind of royal robe upon him. But royal robe means this is a king. Satan looked at himself as ruler of the world, cast down. But he wanted to be praised and worshiped. As a matter of fact, even these days, he entices many to try to worship him. Sell your soul for just a portion of goodness and meekness and fame and popularity and wealth and money and everything your eyes desire. Cotton candy theology. Oh, that cotton candy looks pretty good. It's real big. And it looks so delicious until you bite into it. And it's nothing but sweetness and air. And then the Bible says they played it. Put a crown of thorns on their head. Remember way back in the book of Genesis when the fall happened and God said, "Adam, what did you do?" He said, "The woman you gave me, that's her fault." And the woman said, oh, no, that's Satan's fault. We still pass blame back and forth. And Jesus said to Adam, because you have done that, cursed be your labor. By thorns and thistles shall you labor by the sweat of your brow. Jesus later said, Satan, you're cursed, for your head shall be crushed, and you shall bruise my heel, but I'll crush your head. And Satan said, at Jesus' rest, this is what I'll do. I'll take those thorns. You remember God way back in the Garden of Eden? You cursed the ground. You cursed the acts of Adam. And you cursed me. You said, you're going to crush my head. I'm going to take that very item that you cursed. And I'm going to put it on your head. I'm going to cause them to put it on your head. And there stood that crown of thorns. And I could see that 6 foot Satan in his corner there just giggling and laughing and saying, I finally got you. I finally got you, Jesus. He's not done. Put a reed in his right hand. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And, oh, you're a shepherd. Here you are, shepherd. Here's that reed. And we're all going to bow down. And you notice the story, the Bible says, instead of worshiping him and adore him, they spat in his face. And they took his beard and they ripped it from his face. And they scourged him. Oh, the mocking jest. Oh, the horrendous treatment. And then the crucifixion. So much there in the story. We'll recount that, Lord willing, for those who are gathered on beginning with Monday, Thursday. By the way, we'll sing songs with that. And thank you, Fran. Thank you, Fran. Sorry. Thank you, Fran. I called you Fran. That's why. Thank you, Fran, for being willing to come and to play for that service. And Monday, Thursday. And then Good Friday, we'll sing, but no music, because that's a horrible day. That's a dark day. And these events that we're talking about, skimming over real quickly, we'll look deeply into that. But notice with me, the text tells us that when Jesus died together, or where Jesus died, the Bible says that there were those who just mocked him and gave him wine and vinegar to try to numb the pain, take away the sting of it all. Jesus said, nope. He took it all for me. Took it all for us. Imagine going to the dentist and having a root canal. And they say, well, we can either put you to sleep, we can give you Novocaine. Which one do you want? You said, neither. I'll just take it. Hit me with your best shot. Oh, no, beloved, you give me Novocaine, you put me to sleep. I don't care what you do, both of them. I don't want to be awake. I don't want to feel any pain. Jesus knew that he was going to be hurting. For me, beloved. For you. For the world. And he could have taken some anesthesia. He could have taken something to dull in the pain, but he did not. Oh, how much they mocked him. And the Bible says from noon, from the sixth hour, which is noon time, I don't have my Bible here, so it takes me, verse 45, from the sixth hour, there was darkness until the ninth hour, noon to 3 o'clock. Darkness on the face of the earth. That's a kind of a weird time in modernity to get dark. Noontime, the sun is out. What was happening was, it wasn't a solar eclipse. It wasn't anything like that. You see, Habakkuk talked about this. It says that God is so pure that he cannot look upon evil. And so when Jesus died on the cross and became our sin, God could not look upon a holy God, a holy sacrifice. He could not look because there was sin there. My sin, our sin. And there was darkness. Now, oh boy, did they just give it to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, call down Elijah and let the angels take out and all that. Here's the last scene, the fourth scene. Crucifixion happened. Everything is going on. And after Jesus breathed his last, the Bible says something was happening outside. Two notable things happened. Dead people got up. They start walking around. Now, beloved, we live around, I would get tickled because we live around a cemetery. And say that we had a burial in the last, about four or five burials in the last couple of days. So the bodies are still kind of fresh, so to speak. And they're just laying there. And all of a sudden, they got up and start walking down 5S. Don't you know CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and no, all those channels, they'll be converging around here. Can't you see that happening? I mean, the satellite TVs would be parked in the parking lot, and I'll be standing out there with the offering plates, and and they'll be all over the place because something fantastic is going on. That happened when Jesus died. People who had died got up. And then the Bible says that the veil in the temple was rent. And that may not mean much to us who are not Jewish, but in the Jewish temple, there was a veil that covered the Holy of Holies. And it was thick. I mean, that baby was probably like that. And to rip from the top to the bottom, I think, is so wonderful because only God can just reach down from on high and just say, choo. The Holy of Holies is open. Only the high priest can go back there once a year, sinless. And by the way, when he went back in there, they tied a rope around him. And they had bells on the bottom of his robe. And so when he went behind that veil praying for the Jewish people, he would have to keep on moving because they could hear the bells. And this is why. If he did one thing wrong in worship, God would strike him dead. Now, I made a bunch of mistakes already today. We're not done. I would be done for long time ago. And so what they did, they would put a rope around them, and when they wouldn't hear the bells, they knew something was wrong, and they would yank them out. Despite, because nobody could go in there and get his dead body. If he's dead, he's just going to pure. So they just rip him out, yank him out. Jesus' death removed all of that covering. So not just the high priest could come before God, but all of us can. All of us can. Because of Jesus. When all of that happened, the last verse says in verse 54, when they saw this, they said, truly, this was the Son of God. They began that week by saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then they said, crucify him. Crucify him. But I'm so glad that crowd finally said, this was the Son of God. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Father, as we're walking into the precipice of Holy Week, and we just opened the door. We're fixing to walk through the threshold. And we're going to see so much suffering, so much anguish. The upper room, the garden, the place of trial, place of betrayal, abandonment. the cross, the tomb, and then the empty tomb. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Be present with us as we journey, and not only we, but all those gathered together will join together in worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As our ushers come to gather, I mentioned in the children's sermon that there was one difference in John about the story of when they gathered together for Palm Sunday. The only difference that John tells, that no other one tells, is he tells them why there was such a large crowd. There was such a large crowd, John's gospel tells us, because there were so many people who heard that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. And John tells the story in John chapter 12. It's real close to the resurrection of Lazarus. And John says, because people heard that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, a whole bunch of people came together. That's why one of the reasons that crowd was so large in Matthew, Luke, and John, and Mark, Gospels. Thanks be to God. Okay, I'll turn to the offering. Thank you and praise you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask for a blessing upon them in Christ's holy name. Amen. Let us pass the peace. Thank you. joy to gather together as a community of faith. Passing the peace. As we gather together for our time of prayer, I wonder if there's any prayer requests that you will want the community of faith ought to know. Yes, ma'am.
I would like prayers for my friend Lee. She's 88.
She's going to be
having surgery on Tuesday to remove cancer from her lungs.
I'm sorry, she's
88. And she's having surgery on Tuesday to remove cancer from her lungs.
Tuesday, okay. Pray for Lee. Yes, ma'am.
Prayers for my grandniece, Mary, who is recovering from surgery.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
Prayers for Carl, that he continues to recover from the congestive heart failure.
Keeping Carl in our prayers. Yes, ma'am.
Prayers for my daughter, who had to have a biopsy done, so she's waiting on results for that, and my aunt, who was having a biopsy done.
Daughter, and I didn't hear what the aunt was.
My aunt? What?
What was the name for the aunt? I'm sorry. No.
Another biopsy.
Oh, another biopsy. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for you to say the name. I didn't hear what the request was.
I can't hear.
Me either, obviously. I wear two hearing aids, and sometimes they work. They're behind my ears, so if I turn around and I... Are there any others? Okay. Let's join together, please, in prayer. Father God, as we gather before the throne of grace, we thank you that we can offer our prayers to you. We pray not only for these needs that were mentioned, and we'll do so quickly in just a moment, but we pray, Father, also for the needs of this old world. Father, we mentioned a moment ago that as today is holy, or is a Palm Sunday, and this week is Holy Week, there's a lot of festivities happening, and I understand in Jerusalem when they normally will process through the streets, they're not able to do so this year because of unrest that's happening, not only there, but in many places that the news does not name. We pray for these. We pray for all who are suffering from whatever their suffering might be, whether it be war, injustice, sickness, abandonment, loneliness, self-hurt, others' harm, unknown causes. We pray for these. I pray for Lee. I pray for healing. I pray for Mary, for Carl, for this daughter and aunt, both who will be having biopsies. We pray, Father, for many who are traveling on this week, and this day. We pray for safety. We pray, Father, for all those who are gathered to remember you and all that you've done. And then we pray for those who can care less. Holy Week, have no idea what that means. Going to church, not my cup of tea. But they need you. Oh, how much they need Jesus. So we pray for them, that you might use us when we leave this place and we walk through those doors that leads us out to the parking lot and in our cars. And as we enter into this brand new week, help us to carry with us Jesus in the way that we talk, in the way that we walk, the way that we react, the way we love. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, Holy Father, I ask that you will hear our prayers. And then we remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Calvary covers it all. Let's join together, please, in our closing hymn.
Message that came to my heart.
keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen.